Madagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, I'm Tony Dennis and welcome to King's Kids. Today we have a special guest in the studio, Sandy Wilson, who composed the song King's Kids, our theme song for the show. Welcome, Sandy.
Yeah, hi, Tony.
Sandy, can you tell us how long did it take you to write the theme song? Because I remember I stood up in church and I felt from God to get the church people to write a song, and it was up for grabs for anyone to grab hold of it and write a song, and you did so in such a short time.
It took about half an hour.
Do you want to talk us through that process? What did you do on that day?
Well, they were looking for a particular key word for the song, and that was trust in Him, trusting as in trusting God. Mm. And I just took it home and just prayed about it and asked the Holy Spirit to help me with the way you bring the song together and also for the music. And before I knew it, in half an hour, we had it there, the music and the words as well.
And what happened? They got the guys together and did a couple of rehearsals, and we went out there and you played it. I was very impressed.
On the Friday night music practice, we learnt the song as a team together, and then we got it as best that we could. And then the following week, the song was recorded onto the CD at the church.
You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I got saved 1993. I can actually remember the date. It's the 7th of March. I was standing on my veranda at home, and then I just all of a sudden called out to God and asked Him to help me. I had no thought of God or Jesus at that time. And then 2 weeks later, I was at church getting saved. The first part of the worship was I was standing there and I got so hot from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and I just couldn't move my feet. I couldn't walk out of that place even if I tried. It was like being in a furnace.
Sandy, you said that you was on your veranda and you just cried out to God to help you. I find in a lot of cases that there's some sort of something going on in your life or some circumstances that bring you to think about God, because most people just don't even think about God at all.
I had two little children at the time, and maybe I was feeling rather frazzled that day and probably came to the end of myself. Yeah, so it was like God put that into my heart to call out to Him.
A lot of people just don't realise how important it is to listen to that inner voice, you know, when God speaks to us, and, you know, when we are so desperate sometimes in our lives and we don't have the answers, and and the answers always lie with God. So I think that's probably what happened, that you was at a point in your life where you needed something, and you needed something better than you had.
That's right. And I really believe God, He obviously knew at that time, at that moment of time,
that you would be ready to accept Him.
Oh, yes, because I believe that He calls everybody. And it's at that point whether they respond to his voice, His calling.
What do you think now about, you know, now that you've been saved this long, since the 90s, even as a Christian, we have our ups and downs, you know, it's not all smooth sailing. You know, with the day we become Christians, everything's rosy and like a rose garden. But no, it has a lot of ups and downs. You're down in the valley more times than you're up on top. And so how do you feel that your relationship with God has grown since that very first beginning?
Very much so. When you mention the valleys, I've been in the valleys and out of the valleys. I've had wilderness time. There's been times where a lot of heavy weights have come across my life, and God's been able to sustain me in those times. And also church folk as well has been a good support.
Sandy, I'm going to ask you something, and I hope you're not embarrassed by it, but I remember you shared at church one day that when you were struggling for a job and you were struggling for finances, and like me, many times God has provided finances for me. Do you want to tell us about that time that you needed money and you cried out to God and God supplied your need?
Oh, yes, that was really awesome, an awesome time. Yes, I wasn't getting a lot of hours at work, and I had registration coming up for my car, CTP slip, and I just cried out to the Lord, "Lord, you are my financer, you are my provider, and look, I have these things I have to pay for. I leave it in your hands." And then a couple of days later, I get home, and there's an envelope in my letterbox, and with a scripture on the back in Proverbs that describes the good things coming to those people. Oh, I can't remember the exact
good
scripture.
Things that come to those who wait on the Lord. Is that it? That the scripture?
It could be. Yes, yes. And there was $500 cash in this envelope. Now this. This envelope sat in my mailbox for a whole day and a night. I didn't even know it was there. I checked the mailbox the next day and there it was. And I just didn't know what to do. I cried, thanking the Lord.
You know, Sandy, I know how you felt, because many a times God has met my needs and financially when I've cried out to Him. And see, God knows your need, and it was good that God met your need. But He's met it more than once, hasn't He?
Yes, he has.
Thank you for your time today, Sandy. That was great.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Let's have a listen to the theme song that Sandy wrote for King's Kids.
We are the children of the Most High God. Hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Jesus' banner, it is over us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are the King's Kids. Hallelujah, we are the King's Kids. The Most High God, trust Him every day. We are the children of the Most High God. Hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Jesus' banner, it is over us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are the King's kids. Hallelujah, we are the King's kids. Hallelujah. Trust Him every day. Trust Him every day. Trust Him every day.
Today I want to talk about taking responsibility for your own spiritual growth. It's so easy to go to church on a Sunday morning and expect your pastor or the worship team to be responsible for your spiritual growth. And you go there every week and you sit there and you don't do anything. You might raise your hands, you might jiggle your booty every now and again and shake your leg and put your hand in the air and say hallelujah and praise the Lord. And you might see someone coming through the door and say, oh, God loves you. You know, and that's about the limit to your relationship with God. You don't know God personally. You expect to be given things from God through other people, like even TV ministries. You can watch Joyce Meyer till you're black in the face. As Joyce said herself, it's great that you're a watcher. But if you're not having a personal relationship with God, if you're not reading your word, if you're not praying every day, if you're not spending 5 minutes with God a day, and that's not much, 5 minutes isn't much. You can meet someone down at Settlement City and talk for 2 hours over a cup of coffee and talk crap. And that's all it is. You just talk about the kids and everything else. But when it comes to spending time with building a relationship with God and spending time with God, we put up the old adage, I'm too busy. My life's too busy. Well, you want to spend a day with me one day when I spend between 5 and 8 hours a day in prayer and tell God you're too busy. Because God is so good that He's always listening, always waiting, always waiting for us to spend time with Him. And God is always there 24/7. He never lets us down. And we've got to take responsibility. I remember saying to a young man one day and recently, I said, do you want to spend some time in prayer with us? You know, in a family business. He said, that's your job. That's got nothing to do with me. That's why you're here. It's your job to pray. You know, I can pray till I'm black in the face with the family and God will honour those prayers. But, you know, somewhere along the line, these people have got to take responsibility for themselves and got to take responsibility for their own prayer life. You know, I can tell them that this is what God wants you to do. And I tell people all the time in my ministry, well, you want the blessings of God, you got to spend time with God. You want God to fix your problems, turn the TV off. If the TV is getting in the road, then turn it off. Spend time with God. Last year I never missed a football game. I got Austar, I watched every football game. You know what, this year I've hardly even watched my own team because I'm praying. You know, I start praying first thing in the morning when I get up, and then I'm praying after tea for other people. And then I'm praying throughout the day when I'm doing ministry. So if you want to build a relationship with God, you got to start spending time with God. You can't expect somebody else to do it for you. You know what I've discovered with a lot of Christians and mainly Christian people, people that profess to be Christians, people that go to church, they want God to give them their miracles in a little box with a fancy ribbon around it, and they don't want to do anything for it. They'll ring Pastor Tony and say, Pastor Tony, can you pray for this? I need finances. When do you need it? I need it yesterday. Pastor Tony, I've got a migraine. Can you pray for it? Can you get rid of it? I've got a little box, you know. I'm going to get all these little boxes at home and put them on the shelf, and I'm going to label them prayer for migraine, prayer for finances, prayer for a wife, prayer for a husband, prayer for this, and I'll have all these little boxes there. And as soon as they ring up, I can put a little box in the mail to them. So there you go, there's your miracle. That's what they want. They want somebody else to do it for them. You know, and I do get a lot of results. A woman rang me the other day and she said, I got this migraine. I prayed for it. It was gone straight away instantly. But I also know this woman has a relationship with God, and she spends a lot of time in prayer with God because she's my prayer partner. It's easier to pray for someone who's got faith and spends time with God. Miracles happen. They get healed straight away. And God does something. But then people, they expect God to do things for them, and they don't want to spend time with him. So it's so easy to pass the buck. When people believe in revolution and things like that, they don't have to have a relationship with God because they just go on their merry way. But when somebody gets saved and Jesus Christ comes into their heart, something's got to give, they've got to change. And then see, then they've got to have a relationship with God because there's a price to pay if we don't. We can go to church every Sunday and still go to hell. We can go to church and go to Bible studies every week. But if we don't have a personal relationship with God, we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power. Power comes with being a Christian. You have a power and you have authority, and people don't realize it. You know, I spoke to someone the other day, and I said, well, when do you pray? Well, he said, well, I pray at 11 o'clock at night for 5 minutes before I go to bed. And I said, how was your day? Can you explain to me how your day went? Oh, well, everything went wrong. I was on a hiding to nothing all day. Well, I said, can I make a suggestion? Why don't you try praying in the morning before you get out of bed and leave the house? Because when you cover yourself with prayer and pray the Psalm 91 and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, you're protecting yourself from the attacks of the devil. And God gave you an ironclad guarantee that he would protect you. So no good of asking God at 10 before you go into bed to protect you for your day. You've already got a hide and a nothing. You've been punch drunk, battered around the ring. And you'll say, well, God isn't really there. God doesn't help me. Start spending time with God. And you know, when people, I pray for them, and I get demons out of them, I give them help and everything else, and they say, well, what can I do, Pastor, to get more results from God? Then I tell them, start spending time with God, start reading his word. God says to do this and God says to do that. And then 3 days later they ring you up with the same problem again. Then you say to them, did you do what I asked you to do? Are you praying of a morning? You know, are you spending time with God? Are you taking communion? Well, I did it the day you told me and the day you prayed for me. I did it then, but I just forgot. I just forgot. You know, sometimes I wish they'd forget my phone number, because as soon as something goes wrong, they ring me. but they don't want to do anything for themselves. They just expect me to do it 24/7. I'm going to change my name from Pastor Taylor to Pastor 24/7, because yeah, I got a phone call not long ago at 1:30 in the morning, and I said, "What's the problem?" "I had a bad dream. Pastor, can you pray for me?" I said, "It's a dream. Suck it up, princess, and just pray and go back to sleep, because that's where I'm going. 1:30 in the morning. Oh, well, I can't sleep. Well, why should Pastor Tony be sleeping? You know, he's the man that operates with God 24/7 and gets the miracles." And this is what they throw at me. This fellow says, "But you've led a blessed life. You know, you've experienced miracles from God from day one, you know, when you got saved and all this and that." And I said, "You know what? If it wasn't having a relationship with God, if we can just buy the miracles, you should be lined up down at Bunnings for two city blocks. You know, go in there and there's a big store like Bunnings with miracles in this aisle and all this other in the other aisle." But, you know, I believe God's got miracles set aside for all of us. And God's got a lot of gifts for us and things like that. You know what I reckon would be the saddest thing is when we died and we went to heaven and God took us into this big storeroom and there's all these gifts sitting on the table. And I say to God, "What are those?" And he'll say, "Tony, these are the things that I've had set aside for you during your life. And you know why they're still sitting on the table? Because you didn't have a relationship with me and you didn't ask. And if you had asked me for the miracles, asked me for the blessings, I would have gave them to you. Because God doesn't want to hold anything back from any of us. He wants us to have the blessings and the miracles in our life."
Sometimes it's hard to keep believing in what you can't see, that everything happens for a reason, even the worst life brings. If you're reaching for an answer and you don't know what to pray, just open up the pages, let His word be your strength, and hold on to the promises. Hold on to the promises. Just hold on.
Yeah.
didn't go to the cross and die for nothing. He took all your sins, all of your problems, everything that you're ever going to encounter in this life, and he nailed it to the cross with him. So there's no reason why Christians should be living in defeat. I see some Christians, man, they look like they've been sucking lemons before they come to church, baptized in bad vinegar. And you say to a Christian, how are you going today? Well, I'm glad you asked. You know, I've got aches and pains and, oh, my rheumatism's flying up and, oh, I just can't live without this and this and that. There's always something wrong with them. And when a Christian tells me that, I want to smack them around the head. I know God won't do it, but geez, I'd like to do it sometimes. Just give them a little love tap and say, grow up. Stop speaking defeat into your life. You know, you get prayed for and God heals you. The first thing you need to do is say, God, praise you, God, for healing me. Thank you, God, for healing me. I give you praise and worship. And then go and find somebody and tell someone that God healed you. You know, if you hear some gossip about your next door neighbor, you soon find someone to tell someone about it. You know, stop gossiping, stop being negative. And if God heals you, then sing it out from the rooftops. Tell somebody, God healed me today. God healed me today. I said to this person the other day, I got the demons out of, I said, did you tell anybody? Well, no, I just thought I'd make sure they didn't come back first. Well, you know, fair dinkum. It's enough to make a black fella cry. You know what my dad would have done with someone like that? He would have hung him on a clothesline in a hessian bag and flogged him with a live goanna. And I tell you what, that's what some of these Christians need, just to make them see that sense. You know, common sense prevails. Look, if I gave you something today, like my co-host gave me some prawns today, so I can say thank you very much and be grateful for it. I mean, I love prawns. But, you know, if God gave me a miracle today, how much more grateful would I be for a miracle than a few prawns? You see, you got to have your heart and your attitude right. You got to be grateful for what God gives you. And you got to be grateful for what other people give you. You know, I was so blessed today. Somebody bought me lunch. My co-host bought me some prawns. I'm looking forward to see what God's going to give me for tea. But you know, it's a miracle. Expect miracles and you'll see them. Well, if you got this attitude, well, God never does nothing for me. You know what? The moment you open your mouth to say that, you've just sealed your fate. God will never do nothing for you with an attitude like that. Oh, you know, but I pray to God and I asked him for things and that, and he never gives it to me. What did you ask God for? Well, I want a new Mercedes. I want a new car. Do you ever give God anything? And you know what the key to getting blessings and miracles from God is to be a giver. To give God money. To give him your time. To fast and pray. And give God his offering. Give him his due. You know, I talk to people all the time and they say, God never gives me anything. And I say to them, did you ever give God anything? Did you give him your tithes and offerings? I tell you what, some of them white fellas look at me like, you know, I've just pulled a gun and a balaclava out. Asking them, did they want to give God any money? You know, when you bless God, you got to be able to bless God if you want to bless him. You want to be blessed by God, you go bless somebody else. If you got someone living down the road from you and they can't feed their kids, well, then you cook a meal and take it down to them. You know, if you got someone across from you that can't pay their car payment, and if you got the money, go and pay their car payment for them. But say to God, this is a blessing from me to you. You bless me and I'm going to bless somebody else. Don't say to somebody, mate, I know you're hungry, you need a feed. Let me come and pray a blessing on you and then send them away with nothing. You know what the Bible says? That is a hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. And that's what you are. We can be the best witness for God ever by the way we conduct ourselves and the way that we do things. It's not whether we go to church 7 days a week. It's not whether we go to church and praise God and go to Bible studies and all that. You know, the best way that you can witness to your next door neighbor is to show God's love through you. If he needs a hand to wash his car, go and give him a hand if he can't do it. If he hasn't got a lawnmower and you're mowing your lawn, hey, it doesn't take you much to run your lawn mower across his lawn. Mate, oh, you know why I can say all this? Because I've done it. God blessed me years ago with a ride-on lawnmower. And when I'd get it out to do my lawn, sometimes I'd do a half a dozen of my neighbours who didn't have a lawnmower. You know, I didn't take anything for it. I just blessed them and blessed them and blessed them. And you see, I could stand under a light pole and preach till I'm black in the face and probably wouldn't touch some of these black fellas that I ministered to. But when you go and mow their lawn and you give them a feed when they're hungry, that speaks volumes. And that's what you've got to be. Christ's got to shine his little light through you. Are you shining God's light today, or are you hiding it under your bed? If a person, you didn't tell them you was a Christian, would they recognise you as a Christian, as a follower of Christ? Or do you have to drag it out of you? You can go to the pub and the club, and people can still see you're a Christian by the way you behave. Don't be a Sunday morning Christian. Be all proper and thous and this when you get to church. And then live like the devil when you go to the football. You know, if you can't raise your hands and praise God while you're in church, you must feel bad when you go to the football and screaming and kicking and yelling and over a football team. You know what? I used to do that. Sometimes I used to struggle early in my Christian life to praise God at church, but you should have seen me at the football, you know, especially when my team was playing. But you know what, people? You got to really understand that God is interested in a relationship. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. He wants you to have a heart after his. And if you got a heart after his, you will give your money. You will give it willingly. You won't need a gun and a balaclava to get it off you. And you know what? You put your trust in God. You can't outgive God. I'll challenge anyone out there to try and outgive God. You give $1 million away to God, I tell you what, you'll get $3 million back. For those of you who got the money out there, try me out. Try it. Go give the money to God and see what happens. But if you're someone out there and you got $5 and you go and give it away for God, God will honour that. Whether it's $5 or 5 cents, God will honour you. Because it's not the amount of money that we give, it's the heart and the attitude that we do it. And if we get that right, then we get everything else right. We need to pray. We need to spend time with God. We need to read his word. We need to give our tithes and offerings into the kingdom. And you know what? When we do all that, God will honour us and give us all the other things we need. So today, I hope you learned something from all I've said today, because you've got to take responsibility for your own walk with Christ. You know, when you stand up before God one day, he's going to say, "Well done, my faithful servant, for the things you've done." Well, you don't want the Lord to look at you and say, "I don't know you." And you might say to God, "But I was at church every week." And God will say, "Get away from me, I don't know you." Because you didn't have a personal relationship with God. And that's what it's all about. Your pastor won't be standing with you when you stand before God. Neither will your wife. I remember saying to God a few times, "If I didn't have this wife and these kids, I'd be a better Christian." And you know what? You're so wrong. Because we're all individuals and we have to take responsibility for our own actions, our own relationship with God.
I'm Heidi, and you've been listening to Evangelist Tony Dennison on King's Kids. You can visit our website on kingskidsministries.org, where you'll find copies of this episode available for download. And if you'd like to talk to Tony, you can ring him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Thanks for being with us this week, and we look forward to meeting with you again at the same time next week. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.